Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Good morning to Dr. Bryce Edwards from Victoria University. How are you, mate?
I'm pretty good, actually, Johnny. Yeah, lots going on. There's always interesting things when political parties have conferences, and National had theirs in the weekend.
Yes. So, what exactly is a party conference? Is it an annual thing?
Yeah, so all political parties in Parliament, they meet every year. So this is a chance for the members to get together. So the MPs come along as well, but it's primarily for the party side of things, the organisation to look at where the party's going and debate policy and decide on the direction. And, you know, parties do this every year, and they used to be really important functions and used to have a lot more coverage of them in the media because they had big debates, they discussed remits, and they directed, you know, the party on what they should do, whereas today they've become just more like rallies for the media.
Yes.
By, you know, you get the leaders up there giving, you know, big speeches and, you know, rallying the troops.
I mean, in your opinion, how significant is the National Party's recent conference in terms of its long-term strategy and future policy directions?
Pretty much zero.
Zero.
All right. I mean, look, this was a very successful conference. The main ambition of National, you know, holding this conference last weekend in Auckland was to get some good media headlines, have their leader on the 6 p.m. News, you know, announcing some policies, and not have any controversies,
yes,
not have people, you know, fighting within the party about the direction, and they achieved that. Very little came out. I mean, the biggest debate that came, you know, that actually happened in the conference, I think, was when a more elderly party member, you know, talked to the conference about how words are important, and she objected to the use of the government using this idea of granny flats, and she suggested that it should be, I can't remember, older persons' homes,
yes,
or something.
Wow.
She thought granny flats was derogatory. And so then they started talking about, have we gone too woke, blah, blah, blah. So that was kind of entertaining.
Okay.
But no, there was no big remits and discussion, which you used to get.
Now, Christopher Luxon's tone at the conference was described as triumphant.
Yeah.
How does his current, or his, you know, his current approach or his leadership style compare to previous National Party's leaders in similar situations?
Yeah, I mean, he's right to be triumphant. They've just won the election, so to speak. They've formed a government. They're pushing through all those sorts of policies that National supporters expect on law and order, you know, the economy, etc. But he takes a very managerial line, and he's a bit more only concerned with what the government's doing. He's not really into talking with the membership very much. So apparently at the conference, he didn't really mingle with any of the members. He just came on stage and spoke to them from on high. And so that's kind of his style. He's a corporate guy, you know?
Yes.
And so he's made the National Party more than ever into kind of a business orientated, you know, sort of, a business, if you like. So he's different in that regard to former leaders who have kind of grown up in the party and were activists, whereas Luxon was never a National Party activist. He's kind of just parachuted in there. Mm.
Now, Nicola Willis was rather unapologetic about public spending cuts and job reductions. What do you think the impact of this is on the National Party's public image and future policies?
Oh, look, you know, I don't think that's unpopular with who they're trying to win over. They just need to get across, you know, this narrative that it's the last government that's to blame, and they're just mopping up the mess. And so you saw a bit more of them blaming Labor at the weekend. So they really are trying to get across that we aren't trying to be mean, we aren't being, you know, stingy, it's because we've been left in this situation. And so, I mean, Nicola Willis was quite interesting in the conference because she kind of posed a bit more as a populist. You know, she's there with the people, and she said about how National's now the party of the workers because they're getting tax cuts to, you know, to average income people, and she talked a lot about taking on the big Australian banks. And so she sounded a bit more like, you know, I don't know, Bernie Sanders than John Key, you know, yes. saying we've got the oligarchies, you know, yeah. we, you know, they're out of control. We need to, you know, make the banks work for the people.
With the National Party still needing to work pretty closely with ACT and New Zealand First to maintain its majority in the future, how might the party balance its own policy agenda with the demands and expectations of its coalition partners?
Yeah, that's a really difficult one because, you know, this is a coalition party government where ACT and New Zealand First are asserting themselves and having a huge impact on public's perceptions of the government. And so National's main strategy is just to kind of ignore them. And so in the conference, you know, they never talked about ACT and New Zealand First or Winston Peters and David Seymour. Their names were kind of scrubbed out of the history. Mm. And they talked about it being a national government, not being a national-led government. So I think they're very sensitive to just wanting people not to focus too much. And so, and of the issues that New Zealand First and ACT are pushing, those just didn't come up at the conference.
Yes.
Things like the treaty referendum bill, other things that New Zealand First are pushing, just had no oxygen. So, I think they're just trying to pretend they don't exist.
Now, two other things to come out of the conference were obviously the changes to the math curriculum.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, this is just perfect campaigning policy for the National Party.
Mm.
They found last month that some new statistics came out, a survey of Year 8 students throughout the country, so Year 8, the last year of primary or intermediate, and it showed supposedly that only 20% of students were meeting expectations in maths. And so that was a bit of a shocking statistic. They threw that out at the conference and, you know, sort of dazzled New Zealand with that and then said, hey, but we've got a fix for that. We're going to bring in this new structured maths teaching, and they had been thinking of bringing it into 2026, but now they're going to fast forward and bring it in 2025. And I think it was very well received. Not that everyone agreed with it, but, you know, National, I think, are doing a lot of focus group work at the moment and working out that parents are concerned about the state of education and about failing students and so forth. So they've brought forward this policy, which Labor even agree with by and large, and they've managed to make it look like they're fixing something. Whether it will fix it or not, I'm just not in a good enough place to sort of adjudicate on that.
Yes, I mean, in Luxon's speech on the maths curriculum, he also included a broader critique of the education system, and once again throwing out terms like bureaucracy. How might this rhetoric influence public perception and support for the proposed changes to the curriculum?
I think it is a strong message, a strong narrative that will connect with people who, you know, there's a lot of people after the last Labor government that feel the bureaucracy has got too big, and that he keeps on coming up with this idea of this distinction between frontline workers and back office staff, and that National are on the side of the frontline workers. I mean, it's a bit of a fictional sort of divide, but nonetheless, I think it does resonate with people who just want to see more teachers, more nurses, more delivery at the front, and less money just, you know, sort of into the offices. So, I think that will work.
Now on to KiwiBank. Nicola Willis suggested that KiwiBank could become a disruptor in the banking sector. What are the potential benefits and or drawbacks of a partial privatisation of KiwiBank in terms of increasing competition?
Yeah, I mean, Nicola Willis made this a big thing at the conference, but she didn't give a lot of details. It was more positioning at the stage, introducing this idea of trying to... she's kind of bashing the big Australian banks. Because we've got a Commerce Commission market study report coming out in 2 or 3 weeks that the last Labor government ordered, which I think is going to have some pretty scathing results about how the current big banks are making huge profits, ripping us off, not innovating. And so National's getting out ahead of that by saying, hey, we've got to fix this. There's always the chance of regulating those banks, but I think National are going with this idea that, well, we've got KiwiBank, this fifth bank, and it's pretty small, but maybe we can make it much bigger. Maybe if we can find some funding for it, it can stand its own against those Australian banks. But she's not willing to put their own money into it. She says that the government's coffers are empty, and so you kind of need billions of dollars extra to inject into KiwiBank so it can expand and become much bigger. And so she's suggesting that that might come from the private sector. And so she's, it's debate about whether that means, it's kind of partly privatising the bank, or whether it's just kind of helping, get the private sector to help it. So we get to see how that will play out. But so far, it's been quite well received, and even sort of the Labor Party or Greens aren't really denouncing it yet. So I think, she's got onto this maybe winning formula of trying to get KiwiBank and make it bigger. And so Labor and the Greens kind of do actually kind of like that idea.
Yeah. I mean, last question for you, Bryce. What challenges do you think KiwiBank would face if it were to expand and take on the larger Australian-owned banks?
It's just that big one that I've said about managing to raise the money. You just need billions of dollars to be a big bank. And, I think that there's a consensus that KiwiBank could do that if they had those funds. Probably the danger is that they do just become another big bank, and that they become indistinguishable from Westpac and BNZ, and people just kind of see them as one of the problem in the end. So that would be my risk for them. Yeah,
yes. Definitely. Hey, Bryce, thank you so much for chatting to us this morning on BFM Breakfast. We'll look forward to speaking with you in a couple of weeks' time, mate.
Good stuff. Thanks, Donnie.
Cheers, dude.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.